I think one of the things I like about Sunday mornings is it's just nice to be in God's presence, not by myself, but with brothers and sisters, isn't it? And as I just thought about Galatians, isn't it all about Jesus? Isn't that kind of what Paul was trying to tell them? As we look at the chapters we went through already in this morning, it needs to be all about Jesus as well. But I wanted to start this morning. Are you allowed to give quizzes in church?
Yes.
I think I want to start with a quiz. I just have three questions for you. Just review on Galatians. But the first one's going to be pretty easy, so maybe one of the youth want to answer this. But who wrote Galatians? Anybody want to take a stab? I see you're Paul. Yeah, you were right. You just didn't want to say it. We've been talking about Paul's letter the last, I don't know, five, I guess, Sundays that we preached on Galatians. Four. We did one and two together. What was Paul's purpose for writing Galatians? There's probably more than one right answer here.
Freedom.
Maybe I gave one already. It's all about Jesus. But what was the issue? What was he writing? Anybody remember? They were getting caught up in some wrong teachings, basically. But here's the key I think we need to understand. What was Paul's motivation for writing Galatians? There might be more than one right answer here.
Freedom.
What else? What really motivated Paul to write it? Love for others. Exactly. See, God has you here for a reason this morning, Chuck. Love for others. Paul really loved the Galatian church. And that's the reason I believe that he wanted to write Galatians. He wanted to make sure that they understood that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, through God's grace, and because of Jesus shed blood on the cross for us. That's the only way to salvation. And they were getting caught up in some other things that the people were teaching them, and they kind of agreed with that. And so last week, the end of chapter 5, we find the fruits of the Spirit. Paul was telling them what's going to happen to your life as well, when you ask Jesus into your heart. The Holy Spirit comes in, and those fruits start to grow within you. And so we should be exhibiting, see if I can name them all, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, did I say gentleness, and self-control. We should be exhibiting those in our life. And I want you to remember that as we go through chapter 6, because chapter 6 deals with how we should be relating as a body, how we should be functioning as a body of Jesus Christ, not only for the Galatian church, it's true for us here today. And as I look at, we're not going to read the whole chapter. I thought you can open your Bibles to Galatians 6, and we're going to go through the first 10 verses. And as I looked at the first six verses, I believe, there were three things I think that Paul was asking us to do. And I think the Holy Spirit is asking us to do these same three things today. And they're not always the easiest things, but they're things we should be doing. The first thing, it starts out, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you may also be tempted. I think we need to deal with sin. Okay, and I want to start out just asking for a volunteer this morning. Just one person, I need one volunteer. It's not going to be difficult. Okay, you don't have to come up here. I just need someone's name to use, okay? So I'm going to give you a fictitious, and I repeat, fictitious illustration to kind of relate how we should respond if we see sin, or what could result in sin, or what might happen that God would want us to act upon if it's a brother and sister here. one of the things, God desires we be part of a body. It doesn't matter where you go. It's kind of neat being part of a small body because we know each other a little bit better. Sometimes you can get lost in a big church, but we know each other a little bit better being a smaller group. But being part of a body means two things. It means that we need to have love for one another, be concerned for one another, and so we need to be willing to help each other out of sin. That's kind of what Paul's saying here. But it also means that we're giving someone the right. I'm giving Glenn the right to come to me because we're part of the same body and share with something that needs to go in my life, maybe. So, and we need to deal with that in the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, well, let me give this illustration that's fictitious. I was at Wise this week, and I was just getting a couple items, and I'm going through the checkout line, and I saw Dave was ahead of me, and there were a couple people in between. They were talking to each other, and I'm trying to get Dave's eye so I can wave hi to him. And I noticed that as he's waiting there, there's always candy and gum to the side. He picks up a pack of gum, looks at it, and kind of looks around it, and goes in his pocket. And as I continue to watch him, he pays for the two items he has, and then he goes out the door. So I saw a brother steal a pack of gum. So if that's you, how do we respond to a situation like that? What would Jesus want us to do? And so I had to think of some of the examples or some things we could do. Well, I could say that, well, gee, it's just a pack of gum. I don't want to cause a rift with Dave. It's only a dollar. I'm not going to worry about it. Just going to forget about it, pretend it never happened. And sometimes for us, isn't that the easiest thing to do? We don't want to offend anybody, or we're all worried about hurting someone's feelings. And yet, I want you to think of sin as quicksand. Has anybody here ever been in quicksand? Maybe. I've never been in quicksand, nor do I want to, but I think it's from the old movies, in the safari movies, you always see someone in quicksand. But this is what we know about quicksand. If you're in it, you're going to sink, right? And what happens if you struggle? You get down quicker. But either way, the end result's the same. And if you get too close to the person that's sinking, what can happen to you? You can get sucked in too. I think it says here, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And I had to think about, if you're dealing with a sin in someone else's life, that's a danger that you could be tempted. But anyway, let's go on with our illustration. I'm just going to forget about it. I'm not going to say anything. Dave's in sin, right? But he's not struggling. There's not a big issue, not a big deal about it. And so he's just going to keep sinking slowly. You might not even notice, but he's still sinking. And so I don't think that's something we should do, but that's usually maybe our first choice. We just don't want to deal with it because we don't want to offend somebody. The second thing we can do is, what should I do? Joanne, I was at the store this week and I saw Dave shoplifting. I wasn't sure what to do about that. And maybe you better pray about that. Barry, I was at telling the same story. And Mike, Merlin, and how many people am I telling? Mary, do you see what I'm doing now? What am I doing? Gossiping. Okay. And Skylar's over there watching all this happen. He's thinking, oh boy, Scott's gossiping. Now you're in the same thing. You got to deal with a brother in sin. See how it can go. Now, the first thing I like to do sometimes is just pray. And that's not a bad thing. And we need to seek the Lord. Ask him. Sometimes we don't know how to operate or what to do in a situation like that. So we ask the Lord. And it's not bad for me to say, Joanne, I saw somebody do something this week that just wasn't quite right, and I'm not sure how to deal with that. Can you pray with me about that? And I think God might want me to go talk to that person, and I'm going on such and such a date at such and such a time. Could you really hold me in prayer? That's not gossip. She doesn't know who I'm visiting or what's going on, but it's a good thing to be asking for you to be covered in prayer by a brother or sister. When you're doing something like that, it's very important. And we look at Matthew 18 is very, very familiar chapter. It deals with how we should approach a brother that offended us. This is a little different because there was no offense to me. It's the offenses to God. But it's a very, very hard thing to do. And so it's not wrong to ask maybe for someone to cover you in prayer and to help you through that, but you don't need to share details at this point. And then I think the final step that we need to do is we need to talk to the person. We need to confront them. We need to say, hey, I don't know how to say this to you, but I saw you stick a pack of gum in your pocket, you know? And that's how I think Galatians 1 starts. It's not easy, though. It's very difficult. And then the other problem is, how's the person going to respond? How's your brother and sister going to respond? If we're part of a body, how are we supposed to respond when somebody comes up to you? What if Skylar comes up to me and say, hey, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I think you're gossiping about Dave. Well, how do I respond? Well, did you ever read Matthew 7, I believe, verses 1 to 5? I think maybe you have a log in your own eye. You're dealing with a speck in mine, you know. Do we get defensive like that? You know, do you see any of the fruits of the Spirit in that, if we do that? I've had someone tell me something pretty difficult at some time, not necessarily that I even agreed with it, but you have to receive it, and you got to look at what they're saying, and you got to ask the Lord to show you, you know, is this an issue? And so how we respond is just as important as how we approach somebody. But God is telling us that if someone's caught in a sin, we need to deal with it. It says that you who are spiritual, should restore him gently. And I like to sometimes, I did a lot of looking at meanings this week, and there were some difficult areas, I thought, in this chapter. But the Greek word for restore is katartizo, if I said that right. But what's important is what that Greek word means. And here's some of the definitions for that. It means to mend what is broken. The goal is to mend your brother's relationship with the Lord, because sin breaks our relationship with the Lord, right? And so the goal is to mend that relationship. Make it complete. Make perfect. Restore perfectly joined together. Did anybody here ever have a broken bone? I know there were some of those. Was that an easy thing when the doctor set the bone? There might have been some pain involved. Sean's just laughing. I don't know, smiling. But it needs to be done. That bone needs to be restored. And sometimes when we're trying to restore a relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's not an easy thing. It's difficult. There might be some pain and suffering as you go through that process. But it's something that needs to be done so that we can be complete and whole and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father again. So the goal is to bring into perfect union with our Heavenly Father. So if you see a brother or sister sinning, that's your goal. That's the ulterior motive, to bring restoration between them and their Heavenly Father. The second thing I see is in verse 2, between verses 2 and 5. It says that we should carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. We're called to minister to one another. We're called to help each other in times of trouble, in times of hardship. The Greek word, the meaning burdenous, can mean heaviness, weight, burden, trouble. It's something that's more deep-rooted. Some of your translations might use burden again in verse 5. I think King James uses burden again in verse 5. That's a different Greek word. That just means like you're like a load, like a ship cargo. So we all have burdens, things we have to do in life, responsibilities, we have jobs, we have all kinds of things we need to do. That's not what God is talking about in verse 2. He's talking about something that's really weighing down on somebody, something that is really causing heaviness and problems. And so one of the things I see in this, and you'll hear this again probably, one of the things I see in this verse is that we need to put others before ourselves. In the midst of my busyness, in the midst of all the things I normally have to do, I still need to allow time to help a brother or sister who has a real burden. However that, whatever that may be, I don't know. Sometimes we can offer to help them. Sometimes we just need to be a good listener. Sometimes we just need to pray for them. Sometimes it might, helping financially, it might mean spending time with them. But there's a response we need to make to a brother or sister that we know is carrying a burden. And God may not call all of us to minister to the same person, because there's more than just one or two of us here. I mean, there's plenty of people to be ministering to one another. But we all should be trying to do that in our lives. The last thing I see is in verse... let me deal a little bit with verses 3 and 4. That was a little difficult as I read through that. Sometimes I think when we see someone struggling through a specific thing, we might think, well, gee, I went through that. It wasn't that big of a deal for me. Or, you know, if they would have done things right, they wouldn't be in that situation. Or there could be all kinds of things we think about. And I think what 3 and 4 is saying is that, you know, we need to take where we're at in life, and we need to lay that before Jesus and measure that by the standard that Jesus gave us when he was here in this earth. And what we'll find out is that we all come up short. We all come up short. We're all in the same boat. So we shouldn't think we're better than anyone else. We shouldn't think that we're doing things better than anybody else, because in Jesus' eyes, we all are falling short of the example that he gave us. Verse 6 starts out by saying, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. One of the things that I came across as I studied this is a lot of commentators say that if you have a pastor, you should pay him so that he has time to spend in the word, time to spend in prayer, time to seek the Lord. It's a full-time job for him. Here at New Beginnings, we don't pay anybody. And so I think what that can mean, those who teach Sunday school or those who are up here speaking, sometimes it's good to encourage them. We need encouragement. Or maybe it would be kind of awesome to share something that the Holy Spirit taught you, or something that made a difference in your life. You know, maybe Dave is teaching Sunday school. I'll pick you in a nice way now. And, you know, God really spoke to you through something Dave said. Well, tell Dave that, because that's an encouragement, and that just helps build him up and keep him going and spending that extra time it takes to teach or do whatever you're doing for the church. So share what God's doing in your life. Encourage and pray for your leaders. And don't be afraid to share how God's impacted your life, maybe through something they said or something that, you know, a scripture that they had talked about or gave you. When we move in to the last verses I'm going to look at this morning, verses 7 to 10 deal with a principle I call sowing and reaping. Verse 7 says, don't be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Paul has just spent probably the first 4.5 chapters telling the Galatians how they've been deceived. And now here he is in chapter 6 telling how they need to function as a body. And again he's saying, don't be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived, I guess. And so he brings out, don't be deceived. Don't get off track because of someone wants you to follow certain rules that are in Scripture, or you need to observe certain traditions or holidays or whatever. You know, don't be deceived by all that. We need to be sowing Jesus Christ, basically, I think is what he's saying. And so you reap what you sow. If you plant corn, Sean, what do you harvest? Corn. If you plant wheat, wheat. And if you plant tomatoes, you get potatoes, right? Did that happen once to you, Barry, or something I think strange happened with tomatoes and potatoes? But basically what Paul's saying, you reap what you sow. And then he goes on, and as you look at the next couple of verses, it seems like he's giving two choices to us. And often as I look at Scripture, I see there's basically two choices. Two choices for us. And so he's saying we can We can plant to please our sinful nature. We can plant to please our flesh. I can do things that make me happy. I can do things that I enjoy. I can spend my time doing things that I want to do. I can buy things that I think I should have because I want them. That's pleasing our sinful nature, pleasing the flesh. And what happens? What do we reap when we sow those sorts of things? What's he telling us here in Scripture? The one who sows, verse 8, to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And I think King James says corruption. Is that destruction, corruption? And I'm going to add another one, corrosion. Because it's interesting, where I work at, one of the things we do is we change tires. Some of you know that. And we get a lot of people come in that their tires are leaking. Well, it's not their tires, it's aluminum wheels tend to corrode. And that corrosion kind of eats into the aluminum. And eventually it kind of gets bubbly and your tire starts leaking around the bead. There's nothing wrong with the tire, it's corrosion. But what corrosion will do eventually, if it goes long enough, it'll eat a hole in the aluminum. You'll actually get a hole in your wheel. We saw that in mower decks. Lawn Boy used to make an aluminum deck, and often they would corrode and they'd get holes in them. I never thought you'd see you see steel rust, and you get holes in steel stuff, but aluminum can do the same thing. It made me think of this scripture in James. This is from James 1, starting at verse 13. This is the pattern of what happens in our lives when we reap, when we sow to please the sinful nature. When tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full blown, gives birth to death. So when we sow to please the sinful nature, the end result, it's not a quick process, it's a slow process. But the end result is death. The other thing that Paul says, the other thing that we can sow is we can sow to please the Spirit, he says. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so I thought, boy, this is a really deep scripture. This is a really deep scripture. It's really getting to what we read all through scripture, is there's basically two choices we have. It's heaven and hell. And we need to remember that when we're ministering to other people. If somebody, I'll share this story. Some of you heard this already. My boss's wife, Lisa, shared at the graveside service when he was buried that she and Ron really struggled the last year of his life. It was very difficult. Cancer is a horrible thing, and going through chemo, radiation, surgery, it was a tough year. But she said, I always knew that there was going to be an end to the suffering. She knew that there was going to be an end to the suffering. And then she related that to someone who doesn't know the Lord. She said, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. And the suffering you're going to go through there is so much worse than what we had to go through this last year. And it's never going to end. It's never going to end. And so she said that to motivate us and to make us aware that we need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be sharing the gospel message, because there are only two destinations for us, and that's heaven and hell. And I think we know that. Verse 9, I think, is just Paul trying to encourage. It's God trying to encourage you and I as we read that. It says, Let us not become weary in doing good. Do you ever think sometimes you're really trying to do the right thing, you're really trying to do what God wants you to do, and it's like, everything seems like it's going wrong in life. God is telling you, don't give up. Don't give up, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We need to keep sowing good seed. We need to keep sowing to please the Spirit. One thing I've learned in my short time in earth is that God's timetable is not like ours at all, is it? Sometimes I think I live in McDonald's society. I think I want it now. You know, I give my order, I expect to get my Happy Meal right away, not have to wait 10 minutes for it. You know, and we get so accustomed to think, man, I need this answer right now. God, can't you just answer now? God, we live in a time span of 70, 80 years. God lives on a time span of eternity. And so God doesn't always answer in our when we think he should, but he will give an answer. And it's enough for us to know that he loves you and he cares for you and he's going to do what's best for you in the long run. And we have to keep sowing good seed even when we get discouraged. And as I thought about sowing and reaping, I think sometimes maybe you just became a Christian recently. Sometimes even after you become a Christian, you're sowing good seed, you still might be reaping some of those seeds you sowed before you became a Christian. Does that make an easy example of that would be somebody maybe on death row. There's people on death row who've given their lives to Jesus Christ, and they start sowing good seed, and they might even reap some of that good seed, but ultimately a lot of those people still have to reap from the bad seed that they sowed. So that principle, I think, is true. So it really makes us think that if we do something outside of God's will, that can be reaped years down the road. And so it helps us, I think, keep our minds focused on being where we should. And then verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Keep planting seeds. And it says, especially to those who are believers. We need to be taking care of our brothers and sisters. So, in conclusion this morning, what can I do, or what can we do to live out in our lives Galatians 6? What can we learn from this letter Paul wrote thousands of years ago? It applies to us today, just like it did to the Galatians way back then. I think the first thing I can see, it just shouts to me this whole time I'm reading this chapter, is that we need to learn to put others first. I think that we kind of have this human nature in us that just, we want to take care of ourselves. We want to put ourselves first. God is saying that you need to take care of yourself and your family, but you still need to put others first. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but that's one of the things that God's telling us to do here. And so how can we put others first? I think one of the things we can do is be prepared to minister to people. Be prepared to tell others about Jesus when you meet them. Be prepared to share your faith. There was a guy in at work yesterday, Saturday morning, and I know he's not a Christian, and I think he's an atheist. But I'm not sure how we got on this. I think he said he's sorry to hear that Ron died. And I said, you know, well, it was kind of a blessing. His heart was right with the Lord. He's at a better place. But I shared with him that I think, I don't know why I went this way, but I said, I think it takes more faith for me to believe in creation and God than it does for someone who believes in evolution. Because when you just think about the awesomeness of how God created things, how he created us, how anybody expects that happen randomly, I don't understand. You got to have a lot of faith to believe that. Did I say it takes me more faith? I think it takes him more faith to to believe in evolution. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than in creation. And then he said that, well, yeah, but there's a lot of people that write a lot of different books on that subject. There's not much on the other one. And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, that's people sharing their opinions. There's a lot of different opinions about evolution. I said, there's only one opinion about creation, and that's God's. You know, we need to be prepared to share our faith in whatever way without getting in people's faces, but just let them know that you love the Lord and you believe in the Lord and plant some seeds in their lives. The other thing is we need to be ministering to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what we did a little bit with Chuck this morning. Sometimes it gets discouraging because you don't know how you can help somebody who's going through a tough situation. Sometimes all we can do maybe is pray for them, listen to them sometimes. That's a tough one for me. If you know me, Joanne's smiling. Sometimes we got to be quiet and just listen to someone who's going through a tough time. We need to be praying for them. We need to encourage them. We need to have time set aside that we can take to minister to others. We need to love people as Jesus loves us. I don't think any of us are there yet, but that's what we should be striving for. I think another thing we can learn from this morning is we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to hang around him a little bit. We're not going to ask for a show of hands or where you're at, but do you spend any time, do you have a block of time to pray to the Lord during the day? Even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, and for those of you who work and you drive to work, there's some quiet time in your car while you're driving. I know Chris told me one time, I think that he spends more time praying now since he has such a long drive to work. But set a block of time aside where you can just talk to the Lord. Lift up some of your brothers and sisters in prayer. Lift up some people maybe you're praying for to come to know the Lord. Share your heart with them if you're going through a difficult time. But take that time on a daily basis just to spend with you and God, just you and the Lord. And I think we need to get into this. And that doesn't mean if you're not reading the Word that much right now, that doesn't mean that you go home and purpose in your heart you're going to read 10 chapters a day. Because more than likely that might last a week and then you'll get discouraged and stop. But maybe just a chapter a day. Or how about if you just pick a verse out in the morning and maybe write it in a piece of paper? How about if you pick out Galatians 1? Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself or you also may be tempted. God has a lot in that one verse, doesn't he? Think about that verse throughout the day. Meditate on that verse. Pull that piece of paper out of your pocket when you have time and read it again and again and again. And ask God to share what he's trying to tell you in that verse. Can you imagine if you did one verse a day, what that would do in your life and your relationship with the Lord? It doesn't take a lot. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We need to start seeing the fruits come out in our lives. Sometimes that's difficult. I often think of that, and I shared this with some people here. When I'm on the phone with a vendor, and I'm calling because somebody messed up, and I'm not getting something that a customer needs now. You know, and it was promised that it's going to be here a certain day, and it doesn't come. How can I get this conveyed to this person that this is urgent, it needs to be shipped right away, and still exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, and I'm still working on that one sometimes. That's tough. It's not easy letting God work through you, but it's what God is asking us. And I pray this morning that Galatians 6 can be an encouragement to you, just like it was to the Galatians when Paul wrote that to them. I think let's just close by singing Sanctuary. We are God's temple. So when we go out, we should be exhibiting those fruits. So think about that as we sing. I'll try to start us. Hopefully I get us in key.